If you pull out your bulletin, if you want to follow along the scriptures, we'll take a look at what God has to say for today. Acts chapter 2. So after this sermon, now remember, this is Pentecost, and Peter stands up and he gives this really short sermon. I know I don't do those, but he did. It was given to him by God. And this is what it says. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." When you take a look at the end, which we are able to do this day, you begin to understand the rest of it that's above it, the first part of the text. The people who hear the sermon, the Holy Spirit works on them and brings that word alive in the heart, cut to the heart. Now, when the word cuts, that's the law. And when the word heals, that's the gospel. When it restores that which is broken, that which is guilty, and frees it, that's the gospel. And so here in this sermon, on the day of Pentecost, we have the Holy Spirit working. Now, when you look at the verses above that, then, the words on your bulletin, then you begin to see the Father and the Son. Because he now outlines for the people that this message is from God the Father. And we know him as the creator, the maker of heaven and earth. We heard that in Genesis. The people who had been in the temple and in the synagogues, the people who had been around the Jews who professed the one true God, they had heard that this God is the maker of heaven and earth. He's the same God that David, King David, worshipped. He's the same God that promised to David that he would have a descendant sit on his throne. In fact, that's quoted in the sermon. And this God promised David, and David was a prophet and a king. He was a king in the sense that he ruled Israel, but also as a prophet, he was the one, God gave him many words that are written for us today in the scriptures that are called the Psalms. And the one you probably know the best is, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Right? And this David, given words by God, now talks about, "The Lord said to my Lord." It is David who now introduces the subject of Jesus within Peter's sermon. And there he speaks about, "The Lord said to my Lord, you know, sit at my right hand." And he's talking about how Christ is his descendant, sent by God the Father, planned way before the world was made. And there this one, Jesus Christ, is on the throne, who is crucified. And that was the law. Peter talks about he was crucified, talking about the people who shouted, "Crucify him," you know. And yet, he also identified the Roman government, the hands of lawless men, okay? He was put to death by lawless people. But neither the Jews nor the Gentiles escape that Christ was killed and suffered for them. But also foretold is that Christ would rise again. And the people in the audience were people who were alive when Christ was killed. And if they hadn't gone to that hill outside of Jerusalem, they certainly heard the news. They heard about the two criminals and the one in the middle. And news had traveled very quickly after that resurrection on the day we call Easter. The news had gotten out. They're saying he's alive. And so Peter's message to the people is about and questioning how and what are you doing with God? God in your life. The Son of God, the true God in the flesh that God sent. What are you doing with him? What are you doing with the word that he gave in the Old Testament? The prophets. What are you doing with his law? For this Jesus was sent and died for you, that you may have life. And the audience, you know, they go, whoa, that's us. And the Spirit does the work. When the law comes at you, it's the Holy Spirit that convicts the law of guilt and sin and offense against God. What should we do? Do we keep God as a subject outside of us? Do we keep God as maybe a little closer next to us in case a God is needed? You know, you just might need a God one day. You know, do we keep God nearby right until we die? And then we say, oh yeah, God, I'll take your hand. Lead me to some pleasurable place. What are you doing with God? What are you doing with God's Son, whom he sent to be your Savior? Have you left him on the cross? Have you left him escaped from the tomb or some mystery? Have you left him there? Have you rejected the prophets and all that was spoken of by God to the people of God? To you? Have you left it alone? Have you decided it's null and void? It has no relevance anymore. Have you done something as if you're too hot and you don't need a sleeping bag? Many people feel they're just fine and they don't need religion. Specifically, they don't need Christianity. And so Peter preaches a short sermon. And the Holy Spirit does his thing. And after that, when they say, what shall we do? Peter's answer is repent and be baptized. And there's God. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The words of Matthew chapter 28. Be baptized in the name of. We could say, into God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Be baptized, be brought in, be washed, be cleansed in God. As you have been created by God, given life, human life by God, so you are given new life, eternal life by God through his Son, Jesus Christ. Your sins are taken away, and there by his resurrection, you have life. In God, by the work of the Holy Spirit. The gospel is not a proposal for our consideration. The gospel is not good advice, something for us to ponder. And whether we could take it or revamp it or use some of it, no. The gospel is God's assurance of his truth. It is the good news of what Christ has done for you. And so to be baptized, to be connected and united into God himself. Remember the high priestly prayer? It's in John chapter 17. It's in the scene where you're looking at the scriptures, or maybe you saw it in the movie, right? You know, Jesus is in the garden and he's praying. It's the night he's arrested. And he's saying, Father, as he's praying, let them be one as you and I are one. Remember that? To God, to repent and be baptized is what our life is about. We have been baptized, Jordan has been baptized, and today confirmation is confirming what God has done in her baptism, what God did to her in her baptism at the time of her baptism, and how she lives because of that. Into God, confirming that I am in the faith. The faith that places our life from head to toe, young and old, in God. And apart from God, outside of God, there is no life. Outside of God, there is no eternal truth. And so this message is a sense, a message that reminds us that we are not to think ourselves we're warm enough, you know, because we live in Tennessee, or some of us are from Florida, you know, where it's really hot. Our secretary, Jennifer, in the office, and you know by now, I need cool air because of the asthma and the allergies, and she's lived in Florida, and you know, she goes to Florida. They like to vacation. She can take the heat. So, nope, she needs a sweater. Into God. None of us are designed to be apart from God. None of us can live apart from God. And so as we began the service, in God, in the name of, right? The Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So we live. And to God be the glory. Amen.